Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
It is good to see you. It is, honestly, it is good to see you. Yeah, I'm not kidding, I'm making it up. Right? It is really good to see you. So many of you are braved coming out this morning, which is good. It's good. Good to be in the house of God together. It's good to be the house of God, isn't it? Yeah, because we are the place where the Holy Spirit lives. Ooh, we've been hearing that week in and week out now, haven't we? We've been talking about it in our home groups. And, you know, the thing is, are we beginning to grab hold of that as being true? That God, the Holy Spirit lives in you, but he lives in us as a temple built together. It's pretty awesome that, you know, isn't it? That means, brothers and sisters, that we can expect great things this morning. Because our God is great and he is here. Yeah, we can expect it. Do you feel expectant this morning? I suspect you don't. You know, I was looking at, from up there, I was looking across the congregation and thinking, well, there are some people that are up for it, but there are other people and they're a bit, you know, the brakes on, handbrakes on. Yeah. You know, I went on holiday once and we were going flying in an aeroplane and the aeroplane could not take off because the handbrake was jammed on. Can you believe that, right? And the man who came out to repair it, I could hear, which is not a good thing to hear when you're sat in an aeroplane, it's about 35,000 feet. If that was me, because that's what I do, I'm an aircraft fitter, and I heard that banging, I'd be a bit worried. But I can appreciate that banging is banging. And sometimes there is call for a bigger hammer. Yeah, sometimes there is call for a bigger hammer. And do you know this? Once that handbrake got off, we zoomed down the runway and we flew in the sky. And I tell you, even if he banged the handbrake on while we were in the sky, it was not going to stop us. It was not going to stop us. Come on, let's take the handbrake off this morning. Let's take the handbrake off this morning and expect great things because our God is great. Yeah, Jesus is absolutely wonderful. Yeah, and he has promised to be here. But more than that, we know he lives in this temple. He lives in it. Well, that blows your mind, that, doesn't it? Yeah, that wherever you go, he lives there. But when we come together, there's something. There's another dynamic to it. When we come together as the body of Christ, as the temple. And it's awesome. Praise God. Well, I'm going to play you a little bit. I did tell you last week that I downloaded a song from the internet. And hopefully it will play for you. If not, I will sing it to you. Right, okay. Yeah. Thanks, John. John always stands on the stage with earplugs in. I wonder why. I don't know. I can't understand it. Okay. So here we go. Come on, a bit of pointing. Come on, do a bit of pointing. Who are you? 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 Come on, point. Have you got a pointy finger? Come on. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Yeah. This is one of my favourite songs at the moment. You know, can often be heard when I get in the shower, I put this on and I play it while I have a shower. You know, when I get up in the morning, might sneak it on during my prayer time. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Who are you? Hey, who are you? But we're going to come from it from a bit of a different angle, maybe as we go along. But we're going to talk about who are you? Right? Who are you? A child of God. See, have you read my notes? Which is a child of God. Who are you? And it's incredible, isn't it? That you are somebody. That's incredible, that. You are not a nobody. You may on occasion feel insignificant. You may feel the least when you're in a crowd. You may feel the most untalented when you're playing on your football team. You may not be the best in your class at school when it comes to maths. You may be the worst at English. You may be a disaster when it comes to cross country. You may be all these things, but you are somebody this morning. You are somebody. But I tell you, many people take their identity of who they are from what they do. But that is not for us, child of God. Our identity is not based on what we do, on how much money we've got in our bank account, on what kind of job we do, whether we're employed or unemployed, whether we are young, whether we are, whether we've got problems in our lives, whether we have friends or no friends. It doesn't define who you are. We, children of God, are defined by something greater than the circumstances we find ourselves in. We, children of God, are defined by what God says about us. That's right, that's how we're defined, by what God says about us. My favourite book in the Bible, I hate the thought that I have a favourite book in the Bible because it's all pretty good, isn't it? But my favourite book in the Bible is the book of Ephesians. I love it. I keep going back to it. I read other books and I go back to Ephesians. Then I read some more books and I go back to Ephesians. And then when I'm thinking, you know, in my prayer time, I'll flip through Ephesians. I have Ephesians there ready on hand on my phone. I have Ephesians there. I have it everywhere. Ephesians. I love Ephesians. But what I like about Ephesians is this, is that the first three chapters are full of things that describe who we are. Who we are. And I made a list just of a few of the things that Ephesians says who you are. But let me qualify this first of all. I believe that everybody is valuable.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I believe everybody. Yes. Everybody. No matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, what other people have said about you, even what you think about yourself, you are more valuable than you can imagine.
Yes.
Right? But listen, these values that I'm going to read you now are only attributable to those who are in Jesus Christ.
Right.
I've got to say that, I've got to be honest, right? But the really good news is, if you don't know Jesus, you can know Jesus today, and instantaneously all these things that I'm going to read are going to be true about you. That's miraculous, that, isn't it? Well, listen, here we go. Here's a list I picked up from the book of Ephesians, first three chapters. We are united with Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing. Wow. Okay, come with me. Come with me. Right. Wow, that was even better, that man. Wow. He says this, you're a holy people. You are loved by God. Wow. We are showered with kindness and grace is poured on us. Woohoo, that's true about us. Showered with the kindness of God and grace is poured on us. We have freedom bought with the blood of Jesus and sins are forgiven. Oh, that's you, brother. Yeah? You're chosen in Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's you. It's you. Just point to somebody. You're in Christ. It's you, Dave. Woohoo. Yeah. It's you, Mark. And here we go. He says, you're saved by grace. Oh, yes. You're God's masterpiece. Once you were dead in your sins, but now you're raised to life. Resurrection. Now. It's good. Listen, give me a wave. I've got to check here. Just check the person next to you. Make sure they've got a pulse. Okay. Listen. If you are in Christ, this is you.
Yes.
Let me say that again. If you are in Christ, this is you.
Yes.
Yeah. Who are you? Who are you? This is who I am. We haven't finished. Right? We are citizens brought near. Wow. You're brought near to God. We have the good news of peace. Wow, we have the good news of peace. We have come to the Father, it says. You, oh yes, you have been adopted. It's a great word, that, in the Greek, you know. I can't say it. I could say it when I listen to it, but straight after 5 minutes later, I've forgotten it. But the word basically means this, you are in the place of a son. Yeah? That's some being a child of God. It's not just being adopted and, oh yeah, join the rest of the crew. You are in the place of a son. And all the blessings of a son are ours. All the blessings of a son are yours. In fact, Ephesians tells us that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Yeah, so I tell you know, if it's only being poured on Jesus, it's going to run over onto you because God is generous. But it isn't, because you are sat in the place of a son too. Wow. You are adopted. You are God's family. You're his family. We are God's temple, he says. We are God's children. Does that not deserve a round of applause?
Amen.
I think that's... Oh, God, you are so good to us. Father, we just pray this morning, Lord, as we look at your word and we look at who we are, And Lord, the challenges that we are facing, we pray, God, that we will live up to who we are in you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so that's what I was looking at. And I think that's who you are. Because listen, if you are in Christ and you have believed the gospel, there has been changes in your life. And if you have not believed in Christ and you believe in Christ, there will be changes in your life. And I can think of three things that change instantly. Because it changes three things. It changes where you are when you believe in Jesus. It says this in Colossians, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Listen, as soon as you put your faith in Jesus, that day you first believed, you were moved from one place to another, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's you. Woohoo, you. Yeah. Are you in Christ? Whoa. That's one thing that changes. Where you are changes. Who you are changes, which is what we're talking about. And this is my favorite all-time verse in the Bible. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." Wow. Ooh. Changes you. You can be, listen, you are not who you used to be. You are who God defines you as now. Right? I mean, some people will point to you and say, "Well, I remember you, Rick. You used to steal from work." Yeah? "Have you still got that big drill in your garage?" You know, or, "I remember you. You were always drinking and smashed out of your head. I remember you. You were a drug taker and always hooked on drugs. I remember you. You slept around all the time. I remember you. You were the worst person anybody could ever desire to meet. You are just an absolute rubbish person." That's not who we are. Oh, no. Oh, no. We are new creations. The old has gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. We're new creations in Christ. This is the power of the gospel. It is life transforming. What Jesus did on the cross was not a temporary measure for a little piece of time in history. It's a permanent change that can come into your life for eternity. Jesus, when he died on the cross, did the business. He did it. He paid in full. Praise his name. So it changes where you are. It changes who you are. And it changes what you do. Did you know that? It changes what you do. We are God's masterpieces. I'll read you this fantastic verse. Second favorite verses. Okay. Here we go. And it says this. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus," just in case you were not sure, right? "So we can do the good things he planned for us to do." God has got good things planned for you to do. Oh, he has. The new creation is not a lazy creation. The new creation is a sit back and take it easy creation. But I will tell you this, that all the good things that you do will not earn you merit with God, will not make God love you anymore, won't make God bless you anymore, because God loves you and he's going to bless you more and more purely because he loves you. And I tell you, our natural response as a new creation is this, is that we will do the good things that God has planned for us to do because we changed on the inside. And now they sound like good ideas, don't they? They sound like good ideas. You know, looking after people sounds like a good idea. Loving people sounds like a good idea. Taking care of the wounded looks like a good idea. You know, lifting people up when they're down and they're sad is a good idea. Ministering to those that are starving and hungry looks like a good idea. Yeah? Being patient with somebody who gets on your nerves now looks like a good idea. It does. It looks like a good idea. Why? Because we're a new creation and things have changed. Yes, they've changed for sure. Where you are changes. Who you are changes. And what you do changes. Listen, I put this in big writing. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's who we are. All those things that Ephesians, that Paul talks about in Ephesians, all that change that has occurred in our life, that is who we are. That is the basis of who we are today, if you are in Christ Jesus. But isn't it strange that who we are is always, and I mean always, under attack. It's always under attack. And it is very often the very thing that we struggle with. Yeah, because we let the devil push us back into the mold of who we used to be. We do all the time, because this is a strange thing. This is why it happens. Because we have an enemy. We do, we have an enemy. You know, we call him the devil. We call him Satan. We call him all kinds of names, don't we? But we have an enemy. And this enemy was a liar from the very start. A liar. Remember the story of Adam and Eve, where Adam and Eve are in the garden and there's a fruit they're not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what does he do? The liar comes along and he says, surely God didn't say you couldn't eat that. Surely he didn't say that. And so, you know, Adam and Eve believed the liar. Believed the liar. I said, oh, maybe he didn't. They knew full well he had. They took it and they ate it. And it fell apart. Everything fell apart. And here we are now in a falling apart world. Yeah, and it's obvious it's falling apart, isn't it, some days? Some days we shield ourselves against it. Some days are good days, but when we look at it closer, it's falling apart. But not for us, folks, because we're new creations. We're part of something new, something better, something that's going to last forever. We've tasted that God is good and that his love endures forever. We tasted and experienced the love of Jesus Christ in our life. We are new creations. Our old lives have gone. We are focusing on something new that is coming and has come. And it's still coming. And it's still coming. And it's good news. It is good news. Because I tell you, it's for everybody and anybody who will believe. 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 You know, believing God is faith. Believing God is faith. When God says something and you believe him, that's faith. That's faith. What is believing the lie of the devil? I don't know, but so easily, we are sucked in to believing his lies. Liars are terrible, aren't they? Yeah. You know, when I was a younger man at work, have you ever told a lie? Yeah, okay. You know, it can get you in trouble, can't it? Well, I've been a pretty good boy, really, at work, but there was one lad, and he was known for his lies. And I remember going in to see him. He worked in the stores, and I said to him, "Hi, Dave, how are you doing?" He says, "All right." So, "Oh, yeah, I'm doing okay." And then his store mate says, "Go on, tell him, Dave. Tell him what happened." He says, "Oh," I says, "I've had a terrible experience fishing." I said, "Have you?" He says, "Yeah, yeah." And I'm thinking, I know this is Dave. He's a liar. You can't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. And he goes, "Yeah, a terrible fish." He says, "What happened?" He says, "Well," he says, "I was fishing off the coast of Cornwall with light fishing tackle, fit only to be able to catch mackerel. And I hooked a great white shark." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yes." I was full of disbelief. But I thought, I'm going to ask some more questions. "You really?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "He took me three, they had to strap me in the seat. And I had a mackerel tackle. It took me 3 whole days to reel it in." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." I'm thinking, I'll catch him here. He says, "So you took three, you catch it?" "Yeah, got on board eventually." He says, I said, "Did you get a photograph with you and the fish when you got off?" He says, "Don't be stupid." He says, "I was in that seat 3 days. I was too tired. I went straight to bed." So I thought, oh, but liars. The trouble with liars is this: you can never trust them. And here's a recommendation for us and for you too, is never trust the devil. Never trust his lies. When he tells you something and whispers something into your ear that is different to what God has said, don't believe him. And God says, "You're a chosen person." God says that you are a royal priesthood. God says that you are a citizen of heaven. God says that you belong to me, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you are adopted into his family, that you are the children of God. Don't believe the lie that you're rubbish, because you're not. You are valuable. You are so valuable that the price God paid to get you back was Jesus. That's how valuable you are. It is, and I tell you, don't matter where you are in life, what you've done in life, that is the price tag that is on you. You may feel like you are awful, but the price tag is Jesus, and that's where it's cost. That is some kind of love, isn't it? Yeah? It's a love I can't get my head around, but it's a love I have experienced. But I can't get my head around it, but I've experienced it. But I can't get my head around it, but I've experienced it. Incredible. How incredible is our God? This is what Jesus says. I love this. He says this. He says, in John 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. That's what our enemy's like. That's the way he operates. He steals. He steals your joy. He does. He steals your joy. Listen, given half the chance, he will kill you stone dead. He will kill you stone dead. And if you can't get away with that, it will destroy everything you've got. And the way he gets in, the only way he gets in, is by you listening to the liar. And this is a sad thing, that as Eve listened to the liar all those years ago, we are still listening to the liar. And I charge you this morning to not listen to the liar, but listen to him who speaks truth. Speaks truth. The devil is a liar. Jesus is a truther. He's a truther. He will tell you the truth. And these are the sad facts of life. Like sometimes, I don't know what it is about us, but sometimes we just want to believe the lies and not the truth. But God has gone out of his way to make the truth known. You are valuable. You are precious to him. Praise his name. The enemy lies. He is full of lies and death. Jesus' truths. He is full of grace and truth. The enemy lies and he whispers it in your ears. You're rubbish. You're rubbish. You're worthless. I shouted that because I thought you couldn't hear when I whispered. Right? But imagine he's whispering this. You're worthless. You're a failure. That preacher doesn't mean you. He means other people that are better than you. You're not good enough for that to mean you. Have you ever experienced that? Eh? Well, it can't be me. It is you. If you're in Christ, it is you. If you're in Christ, it is you. If you believed in Jesus, it's you. He robs. He destroys you inside. Destroys you inside. Wrecks you. Makes a mess of your heart. Makes a mess of your emotions. Makes a mess of your mind. He messes with you until you are in such a mess that you won't even recognize yourself when you look in the mirror, because he's bad. He's bad. Given half the chance, he will kill you. But let me tell you this, Jesus' truths. Just say to somebody, Jesus' truths. Yeah? He's filled with grace and with truth. Oh, yes, he is. I love this. There's a story in the New Testament, in John chapter 8, I think it is, where Jesus is in the temple. Right, this is the most holiest place on planet Earth. Right, there is no other place like it. It's considered to be the holiest place by every Jew, the temple. It's a special connection point between heaven and earth, and Jesus is in the temple. And the Pharisees come and try and catch him out while he's in the temple, and they drag a poor woman who's been caught in the very act of adultery, and they throw her on the floor in front of Jesus, and they begin to ask him questions. What should we do with her? You know what Moses says. And I love this story, because this story is full of grace and truth. And I'll explain why I say full of grace and truth when I finished it. He takes this woman and he draws in the ground with his finger. And they're all waiting. And then Jesus says, well, let him without sin cast the first stone. Because the punishment for adultery was to be stoned to death. Draws in the ground. And then it tells us that from the youngest to the eldest, they began to disappear. And when Jesus looks up and the woman looks up, there's nobody there. Everyone's gone. So Jesus says to her, he says these words. He says to her, where are your accusers? Is there no one to condemn you? And he says, she says, no, Lord, there's no one to condemn me. So he says, neither do I condemn you. Now, let me just put down a fact here. She's been caught in adultery. Right? It is definitely breaking a law. She is definitely in the holiest place on planet Earth in front of the most significant man that has ever lived. Right? And there is a law that has been broken. Yet Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. And this is what he says. This is why it just amazes me. Go now and leave your life of sin. Jesus didn't ignore the woman's sin. Right? But he was compassionate and full of grace. And you find that time and time again when you read of Jesus, that he doesn't shy away from the truth, but he's got the grace to overwhelm the truth. They go together. So when this sin, and sin is rampant, grace is more rampant. It doesn't, it sets the prisoner free. Wow, that's the kind of grace that is at work. That's why it's so important that you see Jesus and no one else. You see Jesus, the most significant person that has ever existed on planet Earth, came and died for you so that you could experience his love and his grace and his forgiveness for all of your sins. If you're in Christ, that's you. He's a truther and he's full of grace. Do you know this? That he robes us in his own righteousness. Do you know that? Yeah, there's some great verses that go with this. And I was thinking this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, Jesus has become our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Now, Isaiah 61, there's a little verse in there. And Isaiah talks about being robed in righteousness. When we read the New Testament, we're not talking about a righteousness that we have knitted for ourselves. Jesus doesn't come into the world and say, right, I'm going to save you, but here is now a knitting kit. Now knit your own robe of righteousness. Right? He doesn't do that. No. He comes into the world and he's got a robe already made. And it's already made because it's his righteousness. And he says, come and wear this. This is going to cover it all. Oh, yes. It's going to cover it all. I brought it with me this morning. I brought my robe. Right? Carol, could you just come out here a sec, Carol? Okay, Carol. Now, I'd bring this as an example because this is my robe, this, and, it's not my robe of righteousness, it's my robe of waking upness, this. And so, listen, and this is what Jesus does. He says, Carol, you don't have to knit a robe of righteousness. You don't have to make it up yourself. I've got it for you. Put this on. And so she puts it on, like this. And the great thing about the robe of righteousness is, now just tie it around the front. Right, put the hood up. Yes,
mess up my hair.
Mess up hair. Took his mum's. Right, there she is. This robe of righteousness is way too big for her. Yeah, it covers her hands, her arms. It's down to her feet. It's covering her head. She could wrap it round probably a couple of times because I'm a bit bigger than she is. Well, listen, that's what the righteousness that Jesus robes you is like. It covers the lot. It will wrap around more than twice. It will cover you no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, no matter what disaster happens in your life. He clothes you in his righteousness. You are made right with God, not by what you do, but by what he has done on the cross. It will never, ever be by what you do. And as soon as you think that it is by what you do, you've lost the point. You've got to get the robe of righteousness on. And I tell you, if you're wearing the robe of righteousness, when the devil points his finger, when the devil accuses, when the devil lies in your ear, when the devil tells you that you're rubbish, when the devil tells you that you're a waste of time, that you're a failure, that it doesn't mean you when God says this, you'll be covered. Because you'll be clothed in his righteousness. Because all that you have got, all of who you are, is because of what he has done for you on the cross. Praise his name. He's Jesus. Oh, praise his name. Thank you very much. Round of applause for our beautiful model. It covers you. calls you by name too. Did you know that? He calls you by name. He knows your name. I love that. You know, my sheep hear my voice, he says, previous in John chapter 10. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me when they hear my voice. He calls us out by name. You know, he called the name. Oh, yes. He called the name of Lena. He did. He called the name of Nick, or Nicholas, his posh name. Yeah, he did. He called the name. He called the name Myrtle. Oh, he did. He called the name Emmanuel. Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he called that name. He called the name Lydia. Oh, yes, he did. Asmaret, he called her name too. Listen, if you are a Christ follower, he called you. He called the name Joyce. He called the name Joyce. And I tell you, you heard his name, and what did you do? You followed. You followed. It wasn't a mistake. He didn't say your name by accident. Oops, I meant somebody else. Oh, no. He did it on purpose. It was deliberate. It was deliberate. He knows who you are. You know, and this morning, you may not know Jesus, but he's calling your name. He's calling your name. Maybe you're thinking, I want some of that. I want some of that. It sounds good. I tell you what, it's better than it sounds. It's better than it sounds. I can't make it sound good enough. I can't make it sound free enough. I can't make it sound grace-filled enough. I can't make it sound powerful enough. I can't do that. I just can't do it because it's miles better than I am. Miles better because Jesus is miles better than I am. But I'm telling you, he's calling your name. He's calling your name. Come on, come and follow me. Come on out. I'm calling your name. It's you he's calling. It's all for you. It's all for you. He came into this world. He looked at the price tag and he says, I'll pay that. I'll pay that for you. What a great Savior we've got this morning. Finally, listen. There is so much in the Bible that describes who we are that there is a great challenge that comes from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. And this is what he says. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of your calling. Yes. I've spoke of so many things that we are called to be. What the who we are. Paul says this. This is who you are. Now live up to it. Live up to it. Enjoy it and live up to it. You're not on your own. I'm going to empower you by my Holy Spirit. Because yes, we are a temple. You are a temple. The Holy Spirit is in you. And he will empower you to live up to that. He will empower you to live up to it. You'll have your stumblings. You'll have your falls. You'll have your difficult days. You'll have your losses. But you'll have so much more in your life. Because what you have gained by believing in Jesus outweighs everything else you could ever gain in the world. Everything. It outweighs it. Because he has a name. I love that song. That outweighs them all. Oh, yes. He has a name that outweighs them all. This is Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is Savior this morning. Jesus is Savior tomorrow. Jesus is Savior for eternity. He's got you covered. Live a life worthy of a calling. And don't forget who you are. You are a child of God. So, what can you do this week? Because there's no point in listening to these things and going out and doing nothing, is there? Let's be honest, right? You know, Jesus said, you come to me, you set my feet, you listen to what I say, you don't do what I say. You're like a man who builds a house on the sand. The storms come and the house collapses. But the man who listens to what I say and puts it into action is like a man who builds his house on the rock. When the storms come, the house don't fall down. Listen, if you want resilience in your life, you've got to do what he says, not just think about what he says. Yeah, and that's how you get a resilient life. It's not another way of getting it. You do what he says. Then when the storms of life come, your house doesn't collapse. It stands and it stands firm because you've got the right foundation doing what Jesus instructs us to do. Praise his name. So what can you do this week? Well, here's number one. Have you got a pen? If you've not got a paper, write it on your hand. Right? Read Ephesians. Right? Read Ephesians. I'll tell you, read Ephesians and tell somebody about it. It will bless your socks off. Who loves Ephesians? Oh, me. I wish I was in that church sometime, hearing some of them stuff. That I won't tell you, but there's some things that shocked me in Ephesians, but I won't tell you for another day. So, read Ephesians this week because it's full of tips on how to live out your calling. Full of them. In fact, after chapter 3, it's just full of tips. And it's awesome. Memorize something. Memorize 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yeah? The I am a new creation verse. Look it up, memorize it. Do something. Do something with your mind. You might not be able to get out of the house, but do something with your mind and memorize that verse. Of course, lots of you already know that, won't you? Yeah, because it's an awesome verse. And it's Paul's favorite. Right? You know it. It's a great verse, but memorize it. Another thing you can do is be aware. Be aware that you have an enemy. But also be aware that you are more than a conqueror in Christ. Yeah, be aware of that, eh? Don't sit under the jackboot of the enemy. Because that's not your place. Your place is to sit next to Jesus in heavenly realms. That's where you sit, not down there, up here. Right? Don't sit under the jackboot. Don't listen to his lies. The next thing you can do is this, is mix with people who will, let me get that, mix with people who will affirm your new creation status. That's really important that, you know. If you spend all week with people that don't believe, right, you're going to be on a downer by the time you get to the end. Because, you know, that's why we are a body, that's why we are a temple, is because in actual fact we need each other. Right? And God has given us ministries, not because he can't cope, but because he wants us involved. Right? He's not like Moses, who has suddenly decided to give everybody a job to spread out the workload. It's nothing to him to do everything, but he wants you involved. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I tell you, and if you are not connecting with people that will affirm your new creation status, you are going to struggle. Right? You're going to struggle. You need one another. Amen. This is another thing you can do is encourage somebody else and affirm their new creation status. Go out your way to do it. Say, it's so great to see you in church. I'm just so glad that Jesus is changing you. You're different than you used to be. Yeah, you're not the same as you once were. You know, you're off the wall. You're on the ceiling when it comes to worshiping and praising Jesus. You know, you smile and you welcome, and the way you share bits of scripture with people, it's fantastic. The way you care about people, and that's only the stuff I can see. What on earth are you doing in secret? No, encourage somebody and affirm their new creation status, because I tell you, that's who we are. We're a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And you know, and I know, because I've been there, you can struggle, can't you? You can struggle being a Christian. And you can get it all out of kilter, can't you? You can feel down, you can feel fed up, you can feel as though nobody cares about you, you can feel as though that even God doesn't really love you. You can feel like that sometimes, and you need to be encouraged. So go, find somebody, and encourage them, and affirm their status as new creations. Oh, yeah. And finally, if you have never been baptized, I told you to get to it there. If you have never been baptized, if you have never been immersed in water completely in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, if you never have done that symbolic death and being buried in the grave, and that symbolic rising up from the dead, why not get baptized? Why not get baptized? That's what believers do, isn't it? They get baptized. They believe in Jesus, and then they get baptized. Because what are they doing then? They're saying, listen, I affirm that I am a new creation because I died with Christ, and I'm risen in new life. I affirm it. I confess it. I declare it for all the world to see. I am a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Oh, yeah. Christ is in my life. And that's how we do it. We baptize and we dunk under the water and you rise. Because as many of you have been baptized, been clothed with Christ. Yeah, it's going back a bit to the robe of righteousness a bit there, isn't it? You know, you're covered. You're covered. And you're declaring that you're covered. You're declaring you're covered. You do know this, don't you? That baptism is a symbol for the world to see that Jesus has done something incredible in your life. So there's a few things you could do this week. If you want to get baptized, go and see Dave or come and see me. And we will baptize you. Not now, but very soon, because we've got a baptismal tank on the way. Right? But come. So there are things you can do. You can get into the Word of God. You can mix with one another. You can go and bless somebody else. And you can get baptized. Yeah? So do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? You are. Who are you? We're the children of God. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for each person that is present here this morning. For all those hearts that believe in you and are crying out to you. All those brothers and sisters that are part of the new creation, this glorious temple that you are fashioning and building together. All these people, Lord, that are eager and keen to serve you and to love you and to honor you. I pray, Lord, that this week will be a week of blessing. Lord, that it'll be a week where they will influence others. It'll be a week where they will minister to others. And they, Lord, will find themselves, Lord, living out their new creation life, that God, they will be living out their calling as they follow you. Lord, I pray, God, that we will not be lazy, but we will be active, that we will not sleep, but we'll be on our toes, and we will take advantage of the opportunities that you bring to us in this forthcoming week. Father, help us. In Jesus' name we ask. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thank you.